To start with this evening, I've chosen a passage of scripture from the book of Moroni. And they are the words of Moroni on page 776. And I don't wish to read any lengthy reading, but I'd like to read verses 17 and 18. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which is expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. Now Moroni felt, according to this other, he wanted to write some things that seemed good to him. And these things seemed good to him, that he might write upon these things for the benefit of peoples at a future day, especially the Lamanite peoples. But also these things involve us. And if we read the foregoing part of this, it elaborates the spiritual gifts. And tonight I don't especially want to enlarge upon the spiritual gifts, because I have some other things I want to present this evening. But one thing I want us to note in this particular reading, if ye have faith, and that is a positive statement. It says here, ye can do all things which is expedient unto me. And that takes in a lot of territory. But it also said, if it ever come to the day when the power and gifts of God shall be done away, it will be because of unbelief. Now, at a different time, King Benjamin had some thoughts along this line, too. And I'd like to turn to page 216. This is found in verses 97 through 99. And he had an experience before Christ was born on this earth. A number of years before, he had an experience, it says here, with an angel of God. And I would like to bring out a few of these experiences here that he had with an angel of God. And it starts with verse 97. And he tells of a future event. He tells of the coming of Jesus Christ and the things he would do, at least briefly, the things he would do. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent who reigneth, who was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. But note the next verses. And shall go forth amongst men working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. Now this outlines in one verse a lot of what Christ was going to do when he walked the face of the earth. Now this was a prophecy that an angel really showed him. This is what it will be. This was a future event. And we know now that is all history. I'll touch upon a bit of that history a little bit later. But we know now that is a thing that is past. And yet it was the things that Jesus Christ did when he walked the face of this earth. But it didn't stop there. And it says, and he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And you see, this is all tied together here, indicating of the afflictions and the diseases and the infirmities of man. But it also showed that there would be evil spirits and devils that would influence mankind. And it said here, he shall cast out devils. And that's going to be a part of the thing, along with other things, that I'm going to be somewhat concerned upon tonight. And I would like to turn now to some of the ministry of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. And this is found in the fourth chapter. and the 23rd and the 24th verses. And this is shortly after the experience that Jesus had when he went up unto the mountain to be tempted of the devil, or anyway, he went into the wilderness, I guess is what it says, to be tempted of the devil. And after this, he went forth in his ministry. And we find here it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Now there is another purpose of Jesus Christ, to teach and to preach, and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He came that man might have life, and that he might have it more abundantly. "And healing all manner of sickness," another purpose, "and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, and sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments." So there were those that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and the people brought them unto Jesus Christ because of his fame that spread, it says, throughout all Syria, and as well probably other places. "And those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them." And I want you to note here, as various things I bring out this evening, are the positive way it is done, of the statement that it said it was done. In the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, there's another one I might touch upon, and if you want the reference, it's found in the 14th chapter of Matthew, and maybe we'll turn there, but mostly I'll just tell this particular story. I might read one verse, the 14th verse. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." And so they came out to Jesus, and they spent the day with Jesus in this particular instance. And we find in this instance, toward evening, the disciples wanted to send them away because they knew that the people were hungry. And he says, "Here, have ye any food?" And they said unto him, "Five loaves and two fishes." And he says, "Bring these to him." And we know the story. He caused the people here to sit down on the grass. Then he took these five loaves and these two fishes, and he blessed them, and commanded that these disciples should give to the people. And after they were finished, they took up 12 basketfuls, much more than they started with. And the number who were fed were 5,000 men, beside the women and beside the children. And that could have been maybe 12, 15,000 or more people. Who knows? There were probably more children than there were husband and wife there, or men and women. So it was a tremendous amount of people. It's hard to even comprehend that big a gathering of people. And yet they gathered for what Jesus had, these people did. Now this is one of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Others are maybe more of outright healing, see. And there is a difference, I believe, even though healings are miraculous. Yet this blessing of the five loaves and two fishes couldn't be considered anything other than a miracle. And we could go on into many miracles that he performed and many other things. But we won't go too deeply. But there is maybe one or two others I would like to touch upon. One is in Luke, the 4th chapter, that I started to turn to a little earlier. And this is found in verses 33. It starts with verse 33. "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." So this individual who had this unclean devil, as it said here, and I can't feature any devil being other ways than unclean, but then this is the way it says it. Anyway, he had that, but he full well knew, evidently, of the power of Jesus Christ and God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And that shows that the power of God can literally do. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits," and they came out. So evidently they weren't used to this kind of functioning. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And so the life and ministry of Jesus goes. Many, we know, did not accept his ministry, but evidently many did. Maybe some came for the things they saw. Maybe some, and no doubt most, did not fully comprehend. For we know that even the disciples, the 12 apostles, there's many things they did not understand at that time. But yet Jesus used them fairly completely. I would like to turn now to the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. And this is a little longer reading, and I probably won't read too much of it, but it involves the first 17 verses of the 5th chapter of Mark. And it involves a person at one time in Jesus in his travels. It says he came into the country of the Gadarenes. And we find in verse 2, and I just want to read about three or four of these verses to show the type of person this was. "And when he was come out of a ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." And I want you to notice here, this says unclean spirit. But when we go further into the reading, we have find that he has actually had involved a number of spirits. In fact, it said 2,000, at least 2,000 herd of swine, anyway, involved. "Anyway, this person met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, and he had his dwellings among these tombs, and no man could bind this man, even with chains they could not be done, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day." Now I want you to notice this. Because of what the devil was literally doing to this individual, no man could tame him, no man could chain him and hold him. And he broke the fetters and the chains. But note verse 5. The turmoil that caused this person. "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." It seems kind of a sad situation, doesn't it? Here was a person in this kind of condition. "But it did say, when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him. But it says, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" So evidently he was blaming Jesus for this. But it wasn't Jesus. "And then Jesus said, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And then he asked this man, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'His name is Legion, for we are many.'" So legion is many. And then what he wanted, it says, "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country," these legion of evil spirits that he had. And then we find, as the story goes, there was a herd of swine feeding nearby. And evidently these devils, and it uses plural now, that were possessing, or whatever the case is, perturbing this man, the devil said, "Send us away that we may enter them." And then we find that Jesus gave them leave, and these unclean spirits entered these swine, and they ran down and were choked, in the sea. And it says there was about 2,000 of them. And incidentally, this is hard to comprehend. But there is other places in the scripture. Mary Magdalene, it says, out of whom he cast 7 devils. Or evil spirits, however it's worded. I believe it says devils. But 7 were cast out there. So it is possible to be possessed or to be influenced with more than one evil spirit or devil, because the scripture so records it this way. Then we find in verse 15 it says, and they came to Jesus. Wait a second. The people round about went out to see what was done. And then they came to Jesus, and they saw this person that was possessed of the devil. Imagine this marvelous experience, sitting there and in his right mind. Now, this is hard for them to comprehend. And the thing is, they were afraid because of this experience they had. They knew what this person did, and now he was right. They were dealing with the power of God. And formerly, they were dealing with the evil spirits that was possessing this person. And they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. So this does say possessed. And sometimes it calls it singular or plural. But it does say devils in places. And I think possessed of the devil could involve a group of evil spirits even in this instance. And they began to pray him, that's Jesus, to depart out of their coast. Or maybe it was the man as well, too, far as that goes. But anyway, this shows the power of God, how it was manifest in Jesus Christ. Now, what I have been attempting to do tonight is to lay a groundwork through the ministry of Jesus Christ, through his power and authority that he got from his heavenly Father. And he came here and he gave power and authority to others. Now, I want to take leave of some of the marvelous things that Jesus Christ done. We could spend 2 hours and not nearly touch upon all of them in either the Book of Mormon or the Bible. There is many things he did. In the Book of Mormon, it said not even 100 part of the things he did they write about. So we don't have a lot of the things he did, but they were great and they were marvelous things. But now I would like to turn to a little different phase of it, because Jesus Christ didn't intend for he himself to do this whole job of proselyting the whole face of the earth, of preaching the gospel to every kingdom and man and person. He didn't intend for him to do it. He could have did it, but his was that he would call other ministry to accomplish a great task through his power. And so he called the 12 apostles or disciples. More specifically, they were apostles. And I would like to turn to chapter 10 of Matthew and read verse 1 and then skip down to 7 and 8. And I would like us to think upon this and the power that was given unto them. And I would like you to keep another thing in your memory bank, and that is this. This was all before the day of Pentecost. This was all before the apostles were endued with power from on high from heaven. This was before Christ's crucifixion. But he gave unto these men some rather marvelous powers. And so let us read. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I want you to note here, a lot of the times that these different things are mentioned, that he gave his ministry certain powers, we note also not only the healing of the sick and all manner of disease and perhaps raising the dead and that, but we notice another thing here, it's mentioned quite often, against unclean spirits. And I think maybe there is one phase that we may have overlooked a bit, that we may not be as knowledgeable of as we really should be. And how important it is with all this that we have the spirit of discernment that we had somewhat spoken on this morning, that we have that in our midst. But not only that, that we recognize more fully of the power of the evil one. We have scriptures that tell us to pray against the power of our enemies and against the devil who is the enemy to all righteousness. And you just turn to Alma 16, and I think it's found in about verses 219 through 222, somewhere in that area. It tells us to pray, to continue in prayer and humble ourselves, and to pray over all our flocks or our undertakings of life. But these two things I wanted to draw out of this particular prayer there, and that was that we are to pray against the power of our enemies and against the devil who is the enemy to all righteousness. And so we want to think upon these things and ponder upon them, because they are real. Let's go down to verse 7 and 8. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A commission, not alone to heal the sick and that, but they were to preach concerning the kingdom of heaven being at hand. We find other places going along with this. It says, preach repentance. And we know this is a part of preaching about the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick. And again, I want you to notice the positive way this is presented by Jesus Christ. A commandment. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And I can't think how that could be put any more clearly. If I stood here all night, I couldn't do it. Freely ye have received, freely give. So they already received considerable. I'd like to turn to, in the book of Luke, I believe it's the 9th chapter. And this is found in the first two verses. This is worded a little differently concerning, again, the 12. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Now to me that's plain. And to cure all, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now just think upon these things. And so we need to analyze several things, maybe a bit more fully and a bit more completely, because it's important in our individual lives that we have knowledge of these things, that we know how the ministry should work, and we know also of responsibility of the members toward the ministry, and of the ministry toward the members, of the duty of the ministry toward all peoples, no matter where they are, because the Book of Mormon is very plain in praying for the welfare of the souls of those who know not God. And even at times they met together, not alone in prayer, but it said in fasting and prayer, and prayed concerning those who knew not God. And there's another thing that we need to do. And a lot of these things, we find that one case here, Jesus Christ mentioned on a certain thing that this evil spirit couldn't be cast out, and Jesus Christ did it. And his disciples came to him privately and said, why couldn't we do this? And he says, because of your unbelief. For if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove you hence to yonder place, and nothing shall be responsible unto you. But he said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. So that showed there that there comes a time that when prayer alone is not enough, it takes fasting and prayer with it. I know, I've been a witness of that. And I know there's certain things men expected me in times past that if I hadn't went with fasting with it, I would not have been able to accomplish that which was expected of me. And I know there's times when it's very important. And so it is another part of it that we must not forget. I would like to turn to another reading. This on page 622. A man called Nephi, who later became one of the 12 disciples on this land, a man with tremendous faith. Now this was in the 31st year. So this which I'm bringing out is in the same time the apostles were functioning in Jerusalem. It is the same time, the proximate era, the time when the 70 who were called and sent out functioned in that area. So I just want to tie them together tonight. I first brought out about how Christ worked in Jerusalem to start with. Later he worked on this continent, but that was after his crucifixion. These other things are all before his crucifixion. And I wanted to tie them together to show that not only there, but upon this continent, was the power and authority of God functioning. Now we can start here about at verse 56. And if you want to document this for the 31st year, all you got to do is look at verse 52. It tells you. And it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by angels, there is another one of his clues. King Benjamin was visited by an angel and was shown about how Jesus Christ would go forth preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out spirits and such things as that, evil spirits. Well, here he had this experience by angels and also by the voice of the Lord. He had that as well. Therefore, having seen angels and being an eyewitness, direct, you notice that, and having had power given unto him that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ, and also being an eyewitness to there, that is this people that he was speaking to, their quick return from righteousness unto wickedness and abominations. And so here was a people who were once righteous. They turned to wickedness and abominations. Therefore, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in the same year, that 31st year, and began to testify boldly, repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he taught with boldness and earnestness, and he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part of them would not suffice. So really, we're really missing a whole bunch what Nephi did. Therefore, they are not written in this book. We just don't have them. And Nephi did minister with power and with great authority. But we have a bit of what he did. And I'm thankful we have that bit this night. And notice this next verse. Here was a people that because Nephi preached with such power, they were angry with him because of his power. For it said it wasn't possible that they could disbelieve his words. For so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that angels did minister unto him daily. I tell you what, that's quite a person. His faith is so great that angels did minister unto him daily. And in the name of Jesus did he cast out devils. Now I know that I have done a little recent work on evil spirits and devils and the power to cast them out. You don't find too much reference to them in the Book of Mormon. You find some. You find a lot more in the Bible. And I've went over these things and studied them a bit more because I wanted to have a greater knowledge of them. And perhaps maybe another one of the reasons is certain things are expected of you as being a minister in this gospel of Jesus Christ. And I sense very greatly the responsibility that's placed upon me. And I am of the opinion that man should not look to man for blessings, but we should look to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. But in all this, it is through these men, these ministry, that these things are wrought, the same as it was here. So the ministry need to be in condition that they might be able to perform whatever is needed at a given time. And I realize there's a lot of constituents here that have to be right. And one of them is that marvelous constituent of faith. Because of unbelief, as I read to start with, certain things might not be. Because of a degree of even unbelief among believing people, things could be prevented from being a part of their life that could have been theirs to enjoy. So we have to be careful where we're found at a given time. And the closer we walk with God, the greater our belief will be. The more we use our faith, the more active it will be. The more usable it will be when we use it. It said he did cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead, and after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. And so the people saw it, and they were angry with him because of his power. They couldn't disbelieve it. They knew that it was of God, but they were still angry. Now, this to me is a strange situation. I'll tell you what. I think if I had an experience like this, it moved me quite a bit, you know. If I had somebody here who's dead and he's raised to his feet and he's strong and whole again, I'll tell you what, it would move me this night. And I believe it would move about everybody in this room. I believe you'd have an experience that you wouldn't forget. I believe you'd have an experience that you'd be sharing with a lot of people. But here was people who were angry with him because of his power. And he did many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus. He did these miracles. And we find here, it says there was but few converted. But notice in verse 63, but as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and the Spirit of God. That's not a lone ministry, is it? These had been visited by the power and Spirit of God, which was in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed. And as many as had devils cast out from them, and were healed of their sickness and infirmities, did truly manifest unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and had been healed. They knew this. And so these people, it had a positive effect in their life. And they did shew forth signs also, and did do some miracles among the people. We find, as the story goes on down here, that in the commencement of the next year, the 32nd year, that Nephi ordained many ministry. And it said in verse 70, there were many in the commencement of this year that were baptized unto repentance, and thus the more part of the year did pass away. But I thought it well to share this marvelous experience of Nephi of old. And it said here, a part wouldn't even be adequate. So we really don't even have the greatness of what it is. We really can imagine all evening, and we wouldn't even begin to fully comprehend how great things were done, because he said a part won't even suffice. It isn't enough. But we did get enough here by the writer here to give us a taste. And I'm thankful for that taste tonight, because it shows how the power of God works. Now I'm going to jump back to about this same time to the 70 that Jesus Christ chose and set them forth with power. And I'm not going to turn to that, because I got just a part of that copied down. And it says, the 70 returned, saying to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And so they evidently were rather moved that even the devils were subject unto them through the name of Jesus Christ. And we find in Luke 24:49 that Jesus Christ told his ministry after his resurrection, his apostles specifically, the 11 apostles, because the 12th one had not been chosen yet to take the place from which Judas had fallen. And he says, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now this was that great marvelous power that we talk about at the day of Pentecost. But what I wanted to show, I believe they had a greater power after that. But also I believe with all my heart that those apostles of old and Nephi, before they ever got that greater power, accomplished some great and marvelous things. We have in the scripture in 3 Nephi the 10th chapter, and you can read it through verses 1 through 5, concerning a building of a new Jerusalem upon this land. And when that new Jerusalem is built, it says, and the power of heaven shall come down among them. And I really believe that one day the power of heaven will be among the people. And I believe the ministry will go forth with such power that it will be beyond anything beyond our belief at this time. But I also believe that right now, even as the apostles of old, before the day of Pentecost, had power, I believe that there could be greater power manifest today than is being manifest. I believe that we need to order our lives in such a way, and that can be a reality among a people who can really reach out in that faith. By our lives, by our actions, and by our deeds, and by the type of people we are. It takes a great commitment. I would like to turn to the Book of Mormon, Call of Mormon, in page 712, and read of the statement that Jesus Christ gave to the people upon this continent. It was written at a different time, and it's similar to the one we find in the 16th chapter of the Book of Mark, wherein he says, "Signs shall follow them that believe." A very positive statement. And I'll just read this in this evening. Verses 85 through 88. "For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples who should tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples, in the hearing of the multitude." So all his disciples, not only the three who should tarry, but the other nine. "And also this was within the hearing of the multitude. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now they're preaching rather plain here. And going on though. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now it didn't say might or perhaps. It says they shall. That's a positive statement that anybody could make. "In my name shall they cast out devils." In other words, they shall do this. "They shall speak with new tongues." Another part of it. "They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now this is plain as anybody could write it. Let's go on. "And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the end of the earth." Now the end of the earth hasn't come yet. So I can't see how any of this is fulfilled. "And so believing in the name of Jesus Christ, doubting nothing." And that's why I say, let us work on our faith. And I'm not belittling anybody in here because of your faith. Because I'm not talking to people now that don't have faith. Every one of you in this room's got faith. Even these little children here's got faith. I'm talking to a people believe. But I also believe I'm talking to a people that can increase their faith. We can build it up. We can exercise it. Because here it says, doubting nothing. You remember there's one time when Jesus Christ ministered unto the people upon this continent. You can read it in 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, and about the first 8 or 9 verses. It's all written there, and I'm not going to turn to it. But in this, the people, after he had expounded the gospel of Jesus Christ unto them plain to their understanding, he then said, "I will go and come on the morrow. I see you're weak." They were weary. But there they were in tears, wanting this Jesus to stay a little longer. He says, "I got compassion for you." He said, "Have you any sick or lame or halt or blind or deaf or afflicted in any manner?" And there's a few other things listed there. "Bring them hither." And what did he say? "For I see that your faith is sufficient that I heal you." And they went forth with one accord. Not only see, it takes both working together. With one accord they went forth. And all were healed, whatever it was. You can read it, and I won't go into all of it tonight. Well, you know, another time. And these things I didn't even have down here. They just come to my mind. Another time when Jesus Christ went back to his own country among his own people. And they thought, well, how can anybody as a carpenter do all these wonderful works? Why, how could anybody come out like that, do these things? But they were kind of amazed at his power. But yet, among these people, it said he could do no mighty work among them. That was Jesus Christ. Save he healed a few sick folk, and he marveled at their unbelief. So there we have some clues tonight, brothers and sisters, for us to think upon. I would like to turn to the book of James, the fifth chapter. One we commonly read when we're told to call for the elders of the church. And I'm going to read that tonight. Verses 14 through 16. And I want us to think upon it. And I want us to do more and think upon it. I want us to carry it forth when we leave from here tonight. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It outlines it here. And the prayer, notice this, of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Not Marvin Ealy, Harvey Bell, Bob Oldham. No, don't kid yourself. It says the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, is that plain or is it not? And it didn't say a person had to be free from sin to be healed either, did it? Or you wouldn't have any reason there for forgiving him. But notice verse 16. I want you to think on this verse. And I want you really to think upon it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, is this outlining this plain or is it not? The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it goes on to tell here how Elias or Elijah, a man of great faith, prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And I'm not going into this story either. And the Lord hearkened. And there was no rain on the land for those 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained. Through his power it was done. But it was really the power that was given him by God. God was the one who stopped. But man was the tool. You know, sometimes kind of strange things happened. I told Brother Oldham that the last three verses he read today for you, as ironic as it may seem, is the same three that I wrote down here to close with tonight. And I sat this morning and prepared a sermon. So it wasn't because I listened to his sermon that you're going to listen to these tonight. It's because I felt that these were three verses that we should have. And so, think upon them. Ephesians, and it's found in the, I guess it's sixth chapter or fifth. Sixth chapter of Ephesians, sixth chapter, and the 10th through the 12th verses. And so, think upon this closely. More responsibility. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, tonight, I've spoken somewhat to you about the power of God. He gave unto His ministry certain of this same power. But it's up to us what we do with what He has given us. And the closer we walk, the more we can do. This same person here in the book of Nephi said that no man could perform a miracle save he was cleansed every whit from his iniquity. It's kind of scary. Anyway, it's there. If you want to read it, I can turn that too. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. And you heard that expounded today. And it wasn't even my intent when I prepared this sermon tonight to go into the armor of God. It's there. You heard it preached this morning. But it is there. Why do you need the armor of God? That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One meaning of wiles is trickery, deceit. So if we're going to stand against the trickery, the treachery, or whatever it is of the devil, the deceit of him, it will because we put on the whole armor of God. And one of them things I've spoke about tonight already is faith. And it was part of the armor. Why all this great need? We know that the power of God is greater than another power. But yet there is two great forces in this world today working. The power of God and the power of the devil. And we cannot ever, or must we ever, underestimate the power of the devil. For he's constantly chipping at the weakness of men. God gave unto men weakness that they may be humble. There's another clue. Humble yourselves before God more completely and fully. And then weak things can be made strong in each one of you. But the thing is here, we need to really stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, this is a thing here. Many times people think they're the equal to handling the devil with their own physical attributes. And some have even said this in philosophies today, that we've got so many marvelous hospitals and doctors in this, we don't need administration as much. But don't kid yourself. With all that we got today, we needed, I'd say, as much as any people ever needed it upon the face of this earth. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers. That's the powers of the devil. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's what you and I are wrestling against. And we find that in many instances in the